Do you remember what you were doing 30 years ago today, this summer? I had the most amazing summer 30 years ago. It was one of the most memorable summers, and I'll never forget it. It was one of the most exciting summers, and I'm so excited about this being the 30th anniversary there. I know what you're thinking. Since my daughter turns 30 this summer, the most exciting thing was the birth of my child. But no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something different. The greatest father and son movie of all time came out 30 years ago. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Do you guys remember that movie? All right, and my daughter's birth was really, really great too. But if you haven't seen the movie, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but you will have your opportunity, as is done sometimes this summer. They're actually going to show it on the big screen. So on August 13th, you can actually go see it on the big screen. It's a story about Indiana Jones. It's the third in the trilogy of this eponymous movie series. And he gets to this place, and his father is really sick. And there's something he has to do to help his father not be sick anymore. And he is being this brilliant archaeologist, has piled together or put together this whole entire series of questions of things that he needs to do in order to rescue his father. And he starts doing them, but he gets to this one point in the movie where he goes through this tiny, tiny cave, and he ends up at a great big chasm. And according to his book, he needs to cross over the chasm to get to the other side to save his father. And he can actually hear his father on the other side screaming out, "Please save me, Indy, please save me," and he can hear this. The problem is there's a deep cavern in the way, and he can't cross. But he looks at his notes, and the notes say, "Sometimes you just need to take a leap of faith." And he sits there and he goes, "Sometimes you need to take a leap of faith." And he looks out over the cavern and he realizes that what the book is telling him that he needs to do is he needs to step out into the chasm. Now, I won't tell you what happens after that, but it's a great movie and it's a really enjoyable one if you get an opportunity to see it. Have you ever, ever in your life had to take a big leap of faith? Have you ever seen the time where all the signs are pointing to something that you need to do, but you're not sure you can do it because a big leap of faith is required? We're still in we're still in our sermon series on faith, and this is the second one. And I just want to talk about faith this morning from Matthew 8. It's this story that's a great story, right? Jesus is asleep. In the boat, the disciples are awake, and all of a sudden this storm comes up, and the disciples are absolutely convinced that they're going to drown from this storm, and they don't know what to do, and they're afraid, and the storm is coming, and the winds are blowing, and all that, and Jesus the whole time is just asleep in the boat, snoring, enjoying himself. But they go downstairs, and they wake him up from a dead sleep, and they say, "Lord, save us." And Jesus' response to them, it's just absolutely fascinating. Jesus says to them, in the Greek, it's just one word. It's oligopiste, which means small faith or you of little faith. But in the English translation, Jesus just says to them, "Oh, you of little faith." And he turns over to the storm and he calms the storm. He goes, "Now let me get some sleep." And he goes back and he gets some sleep. Why did Jesus call out his disciples? Why was he upset with them about their faith? It just seems like a strange thing for him to do. He was saying, "You have little faith, and boy, you should probably have a stronger faith." Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Jesus calls them out about the size of their faith. And why is Jesus calling them out about the size of their faith? Well, a couple things it could be. First, we know that a strong faith is needed to get into heaven, right? As good followers of Jesus, as good Christians, we all know that faith in Jesus is needed to get into heaven. Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." So there's two things they're talking about. Obviously, there's a baptism that's required, but there's also faith that is required. And this, of course, was the rallying cry of the Reformation. Because up until the Reformation, somehow the church had determined that the way that you get into heaven eventually is by the works that you do. That you need to do a whole lot of good works so that you can end up in heaven. But we're all falling short of the glory of God. We all fall short. And none of us can get there based upon our own works. And that was the rallying cry of the Reformation, that it wasn't works, it's faith. Faith in Jesus is so important. I know we've talked about this a lot, but we have this image of a tree, and that our faith are like the root system of the tree. And the outward appearance is what you see of the tree, the bark, the branches, the limbs, the fruit, and all that. But underneath it, supporting it, is our faith. And what Martin Luther said is that's important, that your faith grows, that your faith is the thing that helps you to see Jesus and his love for you. The problem is that a lot of people turn faith into works. A lot of people say, I'm saved because I have such a strong faith. If you look at my root system, it's huge. And because it's so huge, surely Jesus is going to let me into heaven. But that's not what the gospel is. The gospel says in Ephesians 2, for by grace you've been saved. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. It is not a result of works, so that no one may boast. In other words, the faith isn't what saves you. It's God's grace that saves you and me. The faith is like the conduit that gets God's grace into your life. It's like an electrical cord. I'm sure you have an extension cord at home or an electrical cord. And what happens? You plug it in at one end, you plug the lamp or the appliance in the other end, and electricity goes through the electrical cord. Well, faith is like that electrical cord. But it's not the electrical cord that's lighting the lamp. It's the electricity. It's God's grace. It's his mercy. It's his love that's clinged to by faith that goes through the electrical cord. Luther said this, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man would stake his life on it 1,000 times. This confidence in God's grace and knowledge of it makes men glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and with all creatures. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit through faith. We are saved only by God's grace. The faith is simply how we know that God gives us his grace. But if you look at the story this morning, it really isn't about eternal life, is it? I mean, here the disciples are in this boat and this storm comes. That's what they're dealing with, is a storm of life. Jesus is asleep in the boat. And so they wake up Jesus and he calms the storm. Well, maybe that's what faith is. Maybe faith is knowing that you can go and calm the storms in your life. If your faith is deep enough and rich enough and strong enough, you can change any circumstance in your life through your faith. Well, that's not true either, is it? You know that. I don't know if I've told this story before, but my grandfather, who was born in 1906, had a brother whose name was Tommy. And Tommy was in a wheelchair. And all Tommy ever wanted to do was to walk again. I think it may have been from polio. I'm not entirely sure. And so Tommy would ask his two brothers, my grandfather and his brother, to take him to all these faith healers. So they would go from faith healer to faith healer. These faith healers would come into town, you know, early 1910s, 20s, and stuff like that. And they would go to the faith healer, and Tommy was just absolutely convinced that the faith healer would heal him from his paralysis. And every time they would go, the faith healer would pray over him, and Tommy would not walk again. And what did the faith healer say? Your faith wasn't strong enough. If you just had a strong enough faith, then this would work out. Boy, I tell you, that's just a horrible thing to say. I mean, if you do that, then what does God become? God becomes a candy machine, a vending machine that we can control, Let me tell you something, folks. You cannot control God at all. I can't control God at all. When we were, Jennifer and I went to Alpine, Texas. You ever been to Alpine, Texas? Most people have not been to Alpine, Texas. We went to Alpine, Texas, spent a couple days in there. There's a movie theater in Alpine, Texas. We saw the movie Aladdin, right? Have you? And it's the new live version of Aladdin. I loved this movie. It was great. It was great music. But what happens? You get this genie in this lamp, and you rub the lamp, and the genie comes out, and you get three wishes, right? And it's something that all of us would love if we just had, if God would tell us, I'll give you three wishes. Use them judiciously, but I'll give you three wishes. Boy, wouldn't that be the most awesome thing in the world? But God is not a genie. And God does not follow our commands. And our strength of our faith and the deepness and richness of our faith does not mean anything when it comes to God working in our life. But this isn't a lesson about having a strong faith and overcoming nature and the power of nature. It is something quite else itself. Listen to Matthew 8, chapter 8, verse 26. Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" This lesson is not a story about anything else except for faith over fear. The faith doesn't calm the sea. The faith gives you strength to get through the sea when the life gets tough. And why do we fear? Because life throws stuff at us all the time. There's so many things in this life that cause us to cower in fear, and we don't know what we're doing. We don't even know if God is out there in charge. But the lesson of the gospel today and Jesus' life tells us that God is large and He is in charge. And storms rage in our life. We get angry at God about the storms, but we can let Him grab onto us and hold us as the storms rage. And when this happens, when He grabs hold onto us, when the storm rages, our faith gets bigger, our faith gets stronger, our faith gets deeper. In 1924, two climbers were part of an expedition that set out to conquer Mount Everest. And as far as is known, they never reached the summit, and they never returned. Somewhere on that gigantic mountain, they were overpowered by the elements, and they died. After the failure of that expedition, the rest of the party returned home. And addressing a meeting in London, one of those who returned described the ill-fated adventure. And he then turned to this huge photograph of Mount Everest on the wall behind him, and he shook his fist at him, and he said, "Everest, we tried to conquer you once, but you overpowered us. We tried to conquer you a second time, but again, you were too much for us. But Everest, I want you to know that we are going to conquer you, for you can't grow any bigger, but we can." You see, the challenges in this life are always going to be there. But our faith can continue to grow and meet those challenges. You see, God doesn't say He's going to ever get rid of the storm. What God says is that He will lead us through the storm. And sometimes the storms of life are so much that sometimes you just have to put the oar away and let God do what God's going to do. Knowing that we are safe and secure in His arms, that no matter what life throws at us, they will never separate us from His love, that we are always part of His kingdom and in His grace. Whatever storms you're going through in this life, Jesus is there. You're His child by virtue of your entrance into the kingdom. He loves you and He holds on to you. His grace is sufficient for all your needs. I often wonder, you know, Peter, this great bold Peter, cowering in fear, waking up Jesus. Jesus calms the sea. I wonder if late in life, you know, Peter was a fisherman, so he must have been in boats before, and he must have been in storms later on in life. And I often wonder what it was like for Peter in later storms of his life. Did he cower in fear? Or having seen all that God had done in his life, when a storm raged, did he stand up at the stern or the bow of the boat and just put his face to the wind and say, "Give me all you got. I'll take whatever you got because my God is more powerful than any storm in life. I think that's probably what Peter did. May Jesus continue to build your faith so that one day he will look at you in heaven and say to you, O good and faithful servant, would you join me in prayer? Dear Jesus, we know that at creation you were, and at our rising from the dead you will be. When we faced the deep chasms and Everests of our life, give us confidence and peace that casts out all fear. Help us to grow in our faith. This we pray to you today and every day. Amen.